Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? Most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, brought to you by stgeorgeutahgolf.com. Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello again, and welcome to the first week of Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Thrilled to be with you. Our third podcast coming your way today. I'm Mitch Lawrence here in the Seaside Golf Capital of the World in Myrtle Beach. Darren Bunch out there on the West Coast in Bakersfield, California, the Dust Golf Capital of the World. We won't get into it, but there's probably six or eight courses if you're passing through Bakersfield. Darren can meet you at those. Darren, welcome to our third podcast. I know we're stoked beyond belief to have this rolling.
No doubt about it. You know, and just to get it started, you know, we've done a couple now, and this is episode three, and I felt like to really get it rolling, I should open this bottle of Glenmorangie Highland Single Malt Scotch Whiskey, the original that I got from our good friend Pete Flanagan over at the Regripped blog. I think I had helped him out with something. I sent him somebody's info or turned him on to something, and this just showed up in the mail, and I figured we ought to use it to get started and kind of toast the initial week of Talking Golf Getaway. So I'm going to open this bad boy up and hear this more wonderful sound.
I love that sound.
Pour a little bit here into my Brora Scotch Snifter, which I believe you have one as well.
I do, and I have some Glenfiddich in there, so we've got a couple of single malts going. And we will try to sip them gracefully while we're talking to you about golf and travel. And by the way, I'm just going to be getting in touch with your friend, because I'll do something nice if he just sends you a bottle of, you know, Glenmorangie when you do it.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, this is not product placement. We just happen to have these two things. But I think if anybody wanted to send us free scotch or free Brora, and if you don't know what Brora is, you will very quickly from listening to Talking Golf Getaways. We'd be happy to accept any and all gifts.
Thank you for stating that. Speaking of friends, one of the great things about our podcast and what we're excited about is our new home, which is with our friend Ryan Ballingy and all his great people at golfnewsnet.com. This is going to be a great partnership, and Talking Golf Getaways and all of Ryan's stuff ready to explode. You can find it there. You can find Talking Golf Getaways on iTunes, podcasts, and tune in. Also, we want this to be an interactive exercise, so we want you to get in touch with both Darren and I on social media. Darren, you can find at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mitch Lawrence. It's spelled L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. And we hope you do that. Suggestions, comments, thoughts, fun stuff, whatever you want. We're going to get this third podcast started with what is definitely part of our mission, and that is to turn you on to some destinations you might not be aware of, and we wouldn't be able to do without this first great sponsor on Talking Golf Getaways, and that's St. George, Utah. And there is a reason why this is becoming, as people find out about it, one of the truly go-to golf destinations in the West. They have 300 days of sunshine every year, multiple picturesque golf courses, even though I don't think the word picturesque really does it justice, a variety of affordable lodging options, and it's why more and more golf travelers, and I'm talking about couples, multi-foursome buddy trips, everybody, they're discovering the beauty of St. George, Utah, at the foot of majestic Zion National Park. Darren, I know you were just there. You rave about St. George, and I guess to say extreme beauty in terms of courses and things to do off the golf course would pretty much cover it.
Yeah, it's just one of those places nobody seems to know about it. It's truly a hidden gem. It's got some just amazing golf courses. Sand Hollow, we've mentioned it before in the first couple of podcasts, but it's just such a great place. The back nine just hangs over the Virgin River Gorge, and it's just built into these sandstone cliffs that's just phenomenal. But the whole area, you've got Zion National Park, which everybody knows about, has some amazing hikes. But you got Snow Canyon State Park, which is near the Inn at Entrada, which has a great golf course as well. And it's Snow Canyon State Park has these just great, great red, like petroglyph type mountains, foothills. I'm not exactly sure what you call them, but you can just hike all over the place and just get, you know, like you said, extreme beauty everywhere you look. It's just a great place.
Well, this is a perfect time. If you want to add St. George, Utah to your bucket list, there's a great way to do it. And that's through the family-owned and locally operated stgeorgeutahgolf.com. And they can help you build custom golf packages of all shapes and sizes and for any budget, truly. Visit stgeorgeutahgolf.com. You can learn more about this fun, friendly, affordable destination. Hey, guess what? You can start planning your own great golf getaway today. All right, here in our third podcast at Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, we're going to get into now what both Darren and I think is really a mission of this show and what is important to us about golf and travel. And that is the fine line between fun and crazy, and especially when you're planning your golf getaway. It's something that is so important to think about before you actually get away. And to do it, we're going to start with a clip from one of Darren and my, I'll just say it, heroes, David McClay Kidd, who has taken on the mission of giving us fun places to play and is one of the game's great architects. He's in a position to do that. So I think you'll understand what we're talking about when I say the difference between fun and crazy. Let's listen now to David McClay Kidd.
Do I feel confident on the tee? Because if I feel intimidated, I'm sick of that. I can play any number of golf courses where I feel intimidated on every tee. So let's not do that. How do I feel confident, like I'm not going to lose the ball? You know, how can I feel like I could really hit it hard and not lose it? You know, how do I make it so that I can feel like I've got a 50-foot putt and I actually have a chance of making it, or at least two putting? So all of these things were done to make a good golfer think he could birdie every single hole. You can go wide open, balls out, as aggressive as you want to try and birdie every hole, and I guarantee you won't, because all the hazards are set up to defend it against the most aggressive players. But if you're going out there with a 15 handicap, hell, you might shoot 80, and you're going to think that you've died and gone to heaven, because your modest golfing skills are going to get rewarded.
I got to tell you, Mitch, I felt like I had died and gone to heaven when I played his Gamble Sands golf course, which is what he's talking about there. It's just such a great place and so much fun. And it elicits all these emotions that he talks about, because you feel like you can do anything. And it's not a pushover of a golf course. It can eat you alive if you're not hitting it well. But it also lets you take advantage of opportunities to really have a memorable round of golf with you and your buddies. And it's exactly the kind of course that I think we need to have more of in this country, because you can find similar courses to it around the world. And I think we really need to focus on that type of fun golf. And that's what this show is all about.
Well, one of the things about David McClay Kidd and what I really love about his mindset, and it hasn't always been that way. We did an earlier podcast, you and I, on our Golf Connections podcasts for Golf Getaways, where he talked about his entirety, the journey that he's been on since he did Band and Dunes, and to come around full circle to this idea of fun and giving most people who play the opportunity to play fun golf in a great setting is fascinating to me. And the challenge at Gamble Sands, and you can talk a little bit about this now, but the challenge is to make it fun, to give you this giant landscape to hit great shots, even if you're a higher handicap, but to also have the kind of challenge and defense of the golf course for really good players based on where the tees are. So he's had to handle a lot, but tell us, I want you to describe what it was like as a way of explaining what we mean. Talk about the difference, say, between Gamble Sands and Chambers Bay relative to fun and crazy.
Well, and that's exactly it. There are these courses that you see, and a lot of times you get to easily compare them. I did a recent trip. I went to Gamble. I went to Chambers afterward. And, you know, I think to myself, looking back on it, Gamble was so much fun. Gamble had so many opportunities. Chambers, you know, which hosted the U.S. Open, is just a grind. It's brutal. And it wasn't always that way at the very beginning, but it's gotten harder and harder and harder. And certainly it's a successful golf course. But there are times I think when I'm out there, boy, I just don't know if I want to come back and kind of put myself through this battering once again, because the grass is high and the greens are hard and they slope off and they do all the things that they do to test the best players in the world. But 90% of us aren't the best players in the world, obviously. And we played with a guy. I was there with my friend Joe Sass, and we went out early one morning. We played with a guy from Maryland. He had a caddy, and he had a relatively decent swing. But that guy, if he counted all of his strokes that day, he probably shot 170, because it was unbelievable. Hitting it into the high grass, hacking it out of the weeds, couldn't get it out. He took 4 or 5 in a lot of spots just to get out of the weeds. I can't think of holes that where he made less than 7. And this is this is kind of the average guy. And I think, you know, for me, they're not holding the U.S. Open anytime soon again at Chambers Bay. Soften the golf course up, make it more fun, because it is a huge landscape and it could easily be a much easier golf course for the average guy to play and still maintain that test that the best players need.
Well, what's interesting is, and I guess this is our point, if you want to go play Chambers Bay so you can say, I played a U.S. Open course, that's one thing. But if you're basing a buddy's trip around a course that you want on that rota to have a good time, then Chambers Bay might not be that place, whereas Gamble Sands, you could probably spend the whole buddy's trip playing that course 4 or 5 times and have a great time. You also feel the same way about Whistling Straits and some place like Arcadia Bluffs, which is another, you know, discussion. I know a lot of people, just based on the pictures and the description of Whistling Straits, they feel like that's a crazy golf course as opposed to a fun one, but you had a very different experience there.
It is far more playable than I ever expected. And, you know, we're going to talk about our bucket lists on the next podcast, but I went to Whistling Straits and I had never really been a fan. I'd watched it during the PGA Championship. I'd seen what Jason Day did to it, but I looked at it and thought, boy, it just looks hard and it's right there, you know, on the ocean. It's certainly beautiful. And I thought to myself, I don't know if I really have to get there and play it. But once I did, there's so much room out there. There's not a lot of places. I mean, you have to hit it pretty bad to hit it into just horrible places that really cause you problems. It's a tough, difficult golf course. It's a challenging golf course. But I thought it was an incredibly fair golf course. Whereas if you go across the lake, Lake Michigan, to Arcadia Bluffs, people say, oh, it's every bit as good as Whistling Straits. And I just didn't get it. There were just too many weird bounces and crazy bounces and things that just made the experience not nearly as fun as Whistling Straits was. And, you know, we run into that same problem. We did our trip to Scotland. Everybody talks about Royal Dornoch. It's one of the classic courses of all time. But for me, Castle Stewart is much more of a golf course that I would go play and play multiple times, because there's so much more out there for your creativity. There's so much more out there for the average guy who's playing, who doesn't want to just hit the grind and lose golf balls all the time. So you run into those places that are comparisons. That's not to say don't go play those other golf courses, because I think everybody should try to play most golf courses one time. But there's a big difference between the courses you're going to go back to. You mentioned Gamble Sands. We played it 4 times in 2 days, and that wasn't our original plan. We just loved it so much, and we wanted to keep playing it from different sets of tees and different ways so that we could really see what McClay Kidd was trying to do.
And that's, I think, that idea of playing course multiple times on a trip. You and Brian did it at Tobacco Road in North Carolina, Mike Strand's gem that we all love. You and Brian and I all feel the same way about Tobacco Road. I've played it multiple times, and I can see people going back there and playing it again. These are ideas about how to really get the most out of a trip rather than getting beat up. And the planning stages, again, is when you can accomplish this.
Well, yeah, and Tobacco Road is a great example, because there are people who play it for the first time and they think it's absolutely crazy. They lose golf balls in the high grass. They do all kinds of crazy things off the tee. They don't play the golf course the way it's intended to be played, and they end up getting penalized for it. But I talk to people all the time and say, boy, you have to hit it pretty bad to lose golf balls at Tobacco Road, because there is that orange clay sand is everywhere. So at worst, in most cases, you should just be hitting it into the sand where you can find your golf ball and play it out of there. It's the guys who are trying to hit driver on, you know, holes that don't deserve driver, trying to go for shots that they shouldn't go for, you know, and that's what I think McClay Kidd talks about a lot, and we'll have a clip from him in a future episode, you know, about the average guy who goes out there and tries to do what he can't do and then calls the golf course bad. And that's not exactly what you want. For us, we go play Tobacco Road. We play it from all the different tees. We played it from the 4,900-yard cultivator set of tees, and we played it all the way back from the 6,600 set of tees. It's a completely different golf course no matter how you look at it. And if you play there for like four rounds, why not play it from all the different sets of tees? Get a different look. You're still playing golf, and you're still scoring, and you're still trying to score. And I would defy people to try to play it from shorter tees and try to put up your best score. Why not?
Well, I think it goes back to what we're essentially talking about also. And it's a key component of setting up any golf trip, which is do your research before and really look at the set of tees and make a smart choice about where you want to play. I mean, again, if you want to go out and say, I played Chambers Bay from the back tees where the pros played the U.S. Open, be my guest. That will never be one of the things on my list of things to do, just so I can say I shot 170 like the guy that you played with. But if you can really get into playing course a couple times, you can find out the true greatness of the course. If I were to narrow this down to one word for you, Darren, what I'm hearing is, and I think for me too, playability.
Well, yeah, and I've said this before to you, and I'll say it for all the world. I am a playability whore now. I have become a playability whore, and it is crucial to what I do in how I choose golf courses. And it's also very crucial to our upcoming golf course ratings. Our ratings editor, Eric Hart, has put together a really good system to help identify courses that are fun and playable and have the other things that we look for in great golf courses, in beauty and intangibles. And it's the playability, though, that really matters to me, because I want to go out and have fun. I don't want to look for golf balls all day. And you do that way too much at a lot of golf courses, and a lot of really good golf courses, to be honest with you.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. So we're going to concentrate over the course of our Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren on just those kinds of experiences. Is there anything else you want to talk about relative to this?
Yeah, I think the one place I wanted to point out, another trip I took this year, coincidentally with Eric Hart, who I just mentioned, we went and did a loop around Lake Michigan, and we ended up playing Forest Dunes, which, you know, has a top-rated golf course. It's a wonderful golf course, tree-lined golf course. But Tom Doak there has created a thing called the Loop, and it is an 18-hole golf course that you can play two different directions. Each day they switch it. You play the loop one direction, then you play it in reverse direction the next day. And it is unbelievably creative and fascinating. It's not, I think people go out there and they expect it to be Mike Strancian in terms of these giant landforms and things like that. It's not that. It's very much a Lynx golf course, a Prairie Lynx type golf course. But the fact that you play it one direction, then the next day you come back and you're looking at the same greens, but you're looking at them from a completely different perspective, not only shows the brilliance of Doak to be able to even imagine this thing, but it helps you begin to play in a different way and think about golf holes differently, and really kind of stokes your own creativity in how you want to play the golf course. It was so much fun to be there and to play it, and I can't wait to go back. I'd like to be there and play it, you know, over the course of 3 days, like play it both ways, you know, a couple of times.
All right. I love that idea, and I love the chance to get out there. I haven't been there yet, but I'm looking forward to it. We're coming into winter now. It's time to plan trips and golf getaways, certainly. And these are the kinds of things that you can be thinking about as you plan for the spring and the summer and even next fall. We hope these have helped you. On an upcoming podcast, we're going to give you a number of tips on some really different ways and things that you can do on these trips to make it even more fun and different. So be on the lookout for that. Our next podcast is an interesting one to learn a little bit more about what we like to call Mitch and Darren. Our personal bucket lists. Our personal bucket list. We're going to talk about those. And I think you'll find them interesting because both, well, Darren, certainly, he's been doing this on the golf travel side for about 20, 25 years. I've been playing for about 35 years and have traveled also a ton. So we'll be giving you what's on our personal bucket list. And as always, we hope you'll hit us up with golf travel questions or suggestions, comments, anything like that, that maybe we can get into future episodes. You can let us know about that. Use these hashtags. Hashtag Emergency 9, hashtag Talking Golf Getaways. And again, golfnewsnet.com is where you can find us. We're thrilled about that. Darren, anything to say as we take off?
I think we should talk about ourselves in the third person all the time like that so that we can tell people they can learn about the people we know as Mitch and Darren.
Are you thinking of running for political office after Talking Golf Getaways is done?
That's a good idea, you know. You know, I've spent some time with our future president, and I think I could do as good a job as he can.
No, but we'll get to the Trumpian golf escapades at some point in the future. I know that. All right,
thanks. I think that'll be its own episode of all things I've ever done with Donald Trump.
I don't know if I would call it that, but you do what you have to do. All right, we're glad you've been with us here on Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. And we will be back with another of our first week podcasts here on Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Thanks for being with us.